Hello there, very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab. It's a beautiful Friday evening, 15th of March 2024. Today is Jumad, and today is the second Jumad in the holy month of Ramadan. If I'm
that fast?
I think so, yeah. Ramadan started, I think, last week. Was it? Yeah. Oh, it's the first Friday.
Fast. I think it's the first Friday.
Okay.
Yes.
But
someone will get to correct us, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course. It shows that we're open to learning.
Yeah.
How was your day, Gilbert? How's the going?
Well, what a day it's been. Work is unending, but it's interesting. You know, it's interesting when the heart and the head is in there. And I think it's where we live. You know, it's what drives us.
Yeah, working in... concert in harmony, you know. I like that perspective. Mm-hmm. What stories? Well, let me start. Do you think Arsenal, you know, will survive Bayern Munich? Because I saw the draws. A lot of people are saying that, no.
It's the end of the route.
Yes! Mm-hmm. You know. What do you think?
Well, interestingly enough, Ponsak, you're asking what I think. What I do think is that it's a hurdle that Arsenal can surmount. They can cross it. Yes, they're in far better shape than previous years when they met top European powerhouses in the form of Bayern Munich, a team they're set to meet again this year in the UEFA Champions League, and the likes of Barcelona, I mean, you know, who had top names like Lionel Messi, Javi Hernandez, and of course Iniesta himself. Those were guys that I think were unbeatable on their day, regardless of the force they encounter. So,
you're talking about what has happened in the past.
I'm asking you
about what is going to happen in the present.
That would help to put the narrative in context, okay. Ponsak.
Right.
And the thing that happened.
I know that you're not going to admit that.
It was the first thing I did. Yeah. I said, I think that Arsenal can survive it. Arsenal can, you know, go past this one this season especially.
Yeah. I wish Arsenal well.
Yeah, but deep down, I just know it's not coming from your better half, Ponsak, because anything that concerns Arsenal is just not a narrative that you'd ever buy into. But like the rest of the people who think like you, this time around, Arsenal will go on past the hurdle.
All right. Well, I don't have to say. I don't have anything to say, you know, on that regard. Well, what stories have you followed today, Gilbert?
let's look at the headline inflation first.
31%.
For the month of February. And the thing is, I've said here before that many people don't know inflation can hit 1,000, but I just pray that we don't get there. It doesn't stop in just the two-digit rates and everything. Economies have hit 1,000, you know, inflation. And that's in terms of the rate and all that. It happens when economies are not taken care of in the best possible fashion. Then the country or a particular country would get to be in for it. And it appears that despite everything that, you know, the government and its apologists have said, nothing has really changed with regards to Nigeria's inflation, rising cost of living. I think to put it in proper shape even, you have to just ask people how they're surviving, you know, how you just get to the market and boom, before you return to the market again the next hour, the same commodity you purchased for a certain amount of price or certain amount would have changed drastically. So it's unfortunate.
You know, I was thinking about this, you know, matter of fact, this afternoon, and I said I'm going to ask one of my friends. He studied economics. You know, I don't know how these things work. For example, I purchased a pencil at $1, and I purchased those pencils. Let me say 1 million unit of those pencils at $1 each, and then those pencils are already in the country. Why will I have to choose to sell those pencils at retail price, you know, put it in mind the cost of the what it costs me to purchase them while they're already here? I don't know if it makes sense to you.
Yeah, I get.
Why will I, depend how much is the dollar for me to peg, you know, the retail price of my pencil. I do not know. Like, I always say that I have a small mind, and anything that, and one of the, my ignorance is too much, because I don't know how to do math. I'm not going to shy away from telling anybody. When it comes to numbers, it's not my thing, you know, since when I was a kid. But it's now that I, you know, I'm beginning to appreciate the place of numbers, you know, even in daily, everyday life. You know, why will, you know, the dollar determine the price of even gari that,
you know, we produce locally?
Yeah. And even salt and mm-hmm. even, you know, things mm-hmm. that we produce. Mm-hmm. Why is it that is the dollar dependent thing, commodity?
The sing-along song was, when we buy Nigerian goods, we, you know, we help to grow and promote the value of the naira. But it's clear now, it's evidently clear now in basic economic terms that we can't survive by just trying to boost the power of the naira. Agreed, but we haven't gotten to that extent. What you have just said is a clear example of how the naira cannot survive as an independent currency. Because, I mean, whether it's a farce, you know, yeah, whether it's a hoax.
Yeah, I just think that the naira, sorry, mm-hmm. I think that the naira is just a weak person. If you look at the naira in terms of weakness, Rogon Namijine is just a weak person. He doesn't know how to do anything. He doesn't know how to go to farm, you know, to produce food for itself. All it knows how to do is, you know, just consume without production. I think that that makes, you know, a bit of sense to me if I personalize it. Because a lazy man wouldn't, you know, say that you don't have food. A lazy man would like, a hardworking person will always like to negotiate at the point of strength, mm-hmm. not weakness. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But all the dollar has been doing is that negotiating at the point of weakness. And then our bourgeois, you know, the bourgeoisie class, what they do is that, okay, since they know that the dollar, everything is dependent on a dollar. They'll just grab the dollar and then they'll round trip it mm-hmm. you know, amongst themselves. That was what Emefiele was doing. Give his friends, you know, allocation, make them billions, and then it comes back, you know, to the CBN.
We saw
again
what happened in political parties, primary elections as well.
Yeah,
you know, dollar was the reign of the day and all that. So it's quite unfortunate. And the only currency that by mere speculation, you know, gets to lose its value drastically is the Nigerian naira. And then you have people getting arrested, businesses getting shut down, you know, by virtue of the fact that they speculated where the value of the naira and the dollar is going to be within a certain period or a certain given span of time. And it's quite sad. It's quite sad. And quite frankly, if you ask me, I don't think that we're capable of arresting the situation right now. Right now, at least in the year 2024, because we've given the government close to 9 months now to be able to fix it, and various measures have been adopted. And what has that led to? You know, have we been able to even reap the benefit? From 29, we enter 30, 31, you know, inflation rate. So let's see where we end up.
It's very painful, you know, that what 5,000 naira will buy for mm-hmm. you. Maybe you fill up your tank, mm-hmm. car tank, for close to half tank right now is just 7 liters. Mm-hmm. And this is not more than, you know, 5 years ago. Well, mm-hmm. country don't dagbaru. Mm-hmm. Let's play this insight from President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, saying that let's set aside our political differences and provide governance. Country. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we come back, the show will continue. We'll have a guest. The show will continue. Stay here.
Excellency, it is a very great honor for me to have you here to share the breaking of the fast with us. I thank you very much for responding positively to the call. And what I just need to see and push for is the promotion of the message of this month of Ramadan, and coincidentally to the Christian community of faith, where in Lenten season, the overlapping period is very valuable to all of us. I wish to utilize it. to pray more for our country, and be good to one another and our neighbors. I didn't see Governor Ibu eating that at all. Ebony, did you eat? So, I was looking at you from here. I didn't see the movement of your hands. To all of us, I just need to say again, since we recognize the need to build the nation together, the politics aspect of this is over. The time for governance is now. And we are brothers and sisters of each other. We have no choice. We are of the same family, parents, and living in the same house, but sleeping in different rooms. We have no choice but commingle, correlate, and spread love among each other. That be my sermon. Apology to Imam. I'm glad that the headwind pushing us is almost over. The tunnel is not as dark as when we started. It's getting clearer and it's going to be brighter and brighter in the name of Allah. So the capacity to walk through with each other, to communicate and share joy, is what I will continue to preach about. Thank you for having the food. The limitation of the economy will not prevent us from sharing whatever little we have. May God continue to bless you and bless the country. Enjoy the rest of
Well, glad you're still here. The program is Nigeria Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsa Akpana.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
I mean, interesting conversation we've been having, I would say. Small chit-chat with our guests. Our guest is Yvonne Jack-Pam. She's a spinal cord injury survivor, and she's the founder of Spinal Cord Injury Association Africa Network. Good evening, Yvonne. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Hi, Ponsa. Yeah. Hi, Gilbert.
Yeah, well, it's good that
good evening, listeners.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we don't have a hostile audience. They are very nice and kind. So,
right?
Yeah, well, just tell us, you know, brief about the organization and tell us what inspires, was it inspired, you know, you coming up with this initiative. It's something that is not, you know, common here.
Yeah.
That if someone goes through something and then they'll say, look, I want to fight for the people that don't have a voice, you know, in this thing. Mm-hmm. What inspired it? And tell me.
Spinal Cord Injury Association Africa Network is a network of organizations that assist and support people living with spinal cord injuries in Africa, in Nigeria. I started it 2 years ago, but we're now more and like we're getting bigger and trying to push it more now because I feel like I'm ready for it because I am a survivor. I had spinal cord injury when I was 16 years old. Mm. I just started my life and I was in a car crash, so I never knew anything about spinal cord injury. I had no idea what it was like. Anytime I saw somebody in a wheelchair, I just felt they were born like that. So after my injury, my family was very confused and they didn't know what to do. So I was able to basically grow myself and become better and help myself because I was able to travel abroad and study in my wheelchair after a spinal cord injury. So I just wanted to be that person that would make people know that you would still or you can still live a good life after spinal cord injury and a fulfilled life, basically. So this organization is more about education. Like, we try to educate people about all the primary, the secondary things that come with complications, rather, that come with spinal cord injury. So basically, let me just summarize it.
So what do you do, you know, in the organization? What is your, like, your objective and what is your mission? What do you aim to achieve?
Okay, we support people with spinal cord injury. We educate them and just tell them, like I said, you could still live a fulfilled life after spinal cord injury, because spinal cord injury, trust me, is one of the hardest things that can happen to you. Like,
yeah, like I was telling, I have a friend, you know, similar story like yours. Mm. A great lady, she travels, you know, a lot and what have you.
Yeah, and spinal cord injury mostly happens to people when you've grown. Like, I have worked for 16 years of my life. Mm. And it's different from other disabilities because most of these other disabilities happen when you're very young.
Yeah.
So with spinal cord injury, it happens mostly from the ages of 16, 25. So it's when you're just starting your life. So it's very hard and most people give up. It's very hard to live life after spinal cord injury, but it's doable.
Yeah. Let's talk about the infrastructure that we have here when it comes to public transportation, or even if you want to take a walk, just wheel, you know, yourself in somewhere quiet, just wanting to talk to us about how this society is supporting or is not supporting when it comes to public infrastructure, public spaces, basically.
It's not, but then I just want to say kudos to JFM because
you
guys have a ramp, but then the ramp is not like structured or constructed well, but at least you started, like, it's something.
Thank you for the public criticism. JFM, we're going to tell the management to do some. Thank you so much for the public criticism.
I commend you, but seriously, in Nigeria, everywhere, like basically most places are not accessible. Churches, banks, there's nowhere. It's very hard to see an accessible place. So living as a disabled person is very hard.
No, a person living with disability, I think that is more preferred if you're asked me.
Living with a disability, like you person, no, I can't accept it. Okay. Living with a disability is okay. Not a person.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I thought that, you know, persons living with disability, because everybody, I want to assume, lives with one form of disability. But how do you, like, do you enjoy relationships, like, you know, normal people, quote unquote? Like, is it easy for you to make friends? Is it easy for, you know, friends to understand and interact with you in your own kind of world? Because you live in a different space, you know. For people who walk normally, they wouldn't have to go through what you go through. And so do you feel at times, you know, people sideline you even if you just want to make friends with someone?
Seriously, I am a very friendly person and I am very confident. So I wouldn't say people sideline me because I don't put myself where I'm not loved. But it happens, like, in Nigeria, people just see you with a disability and feel you're miserable or you can't do this. They just judge you from the wheelchair. But trust me, no, it doesn't happen to me, basically, because I don't put myself there. But it happens.
Okay, it's about putting yourself
there. Yeah, it's about putting yourself there.
All right. So, assuming you're speaking to somebody out there who lives with a disability, like you'd like to say, how do you get to that point where you overcome, you know, some of these perceptions, because it's perception, not the reality, of course, and then not allow anybody, you know, bully or cow you into that inferiority zone?
It all starts with how you see yourself. And that's one thing I always talk about to people with disabilities. Like, you have to always see yourself, like, don't look down upon yourself. When you look down upon yourself, it starts from your brain. How you see yourself is how people would see you. So if you don't self-pity yourself, don't look down upon yourself, have confidence, basically, there's nobody that can put you there. So confidence, it starts with how you see yourself.
We're speaking and, you know, you spoke about some activities, though very few activities that you held to commemorate the International Month of of wheelchair users and all that.
Mm.
What are some of those activities and how much of an impact did they make? And what do you hope to achieve moving forward?
We put out more awareness programs like this one. I'm here. International Wheelchair Day was on the 1st of March, and it's all about talking or sharing awareness about wheelchairs and the realities of wheelchairs. So a wheelchair is an assistive device that helps a person who needs it to move from one place to the other. And with wheelchairs here in Africa and Nigeria, many people cannot afford wheelchairs or they cannot purchase a wheelchair, which I find very, what's the word now? Because a wheelchair is something that everybody should be able to own or get. A wheelchair is supposed to be very cheap, very affordable, but you find a wheelchair here, let me tell you, a second-hand wheelchair in Nigeria is 150,000 naira. And it's not even a good-looking chair, like very bad-looking chair. It's 150,000 naira. And many people who use wheelchairs cannot even afford it because, number one, they're not able to find jobs. You go to school, study, have a degree, but you cannot even find a job because most employees would say, no, they cannot employ you because the first thing they see is your wheelchair. So if you cannot even get a job, how would you buy a wheelchair? So I think that this is something that the government should also look into. In South Africa, yearly the government buys wheelchairs and donates to people, and after 4 years you could get another wheelchair again because these chairs also need to be changed. It's not something that is used all for a very long time because you use it daily, so it gets tired and worn out. So it needs to be changed as well. And this is something that the government can do to assist and help as well. And there are organizations that help to distribute these wheelchairs, but they are not good enough because they can't afford the very good ones. So they give you these wheelchairs that you can't use, which would also give you more problems because a wheelchair is supposed to be
assistive.
Yes, assistive. And then it's supposed to be made with some specifications because, like me, I'm a spinal cord injury survivor, right? I can't use a wheelchair which a polio survivor would use.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So all these chairs are made according to specifications.
So there isn't any company in Nigeria that produces wheelchairs?
I don't know of any, but I know of Gofwan Biriki.
Yeah, Beautiful Gate.
Beautiful Gate. Yeah, he's doing a very great job. He tries to give wheelchairs to people and donate wheelchairs, rather. So he makes for people that are
polio survivors.
Yeah. So that's
so
one.
You haven't seen for spinal cord survivors?
No, I haven't.
Let's talk about, because I'm more particular about public space. Yeah. Every human being is a social human being.
Yeah.
What will you want the government, for example, in Plateau State? Plateau State government has just purchased Tin City Metro buses.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what idea do you have, you know, so that people in your condition will benefit from this? Because our public transport system is very, very bad. It's
very
evil.
Very.
It's discriminatory, you know, on people. What are some of your ideas, you know, the state government to ensure that, you know, they think about people like you because you are taxpaying,
yeah,
you pay tax,
very well,
and you participate actively making society progress?
The government can always work with, we have a commission, right? There's a disability commission.
Rights commission. Yeah.
Yes, disability rights commission. So the government can make a way that they could make a desk like in the Tin City or with the Plateau Express, Plateau, what's it called? Riders,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There services. Could be a desk for people with disability, because abroad, that's what I've seen. There's a desk. Every transport has a desk for the disabled people. So there should be a desk for them, and then there should be a slash price. People with disabilities should pay half of the price that other people pay. I remember dropping a comment on the Teen City page. I said, please, I hope there's a space for people with disability in these buses, but I never got a reply, and I'm sure they saw it but didn't reply. But that should be something that should be done, because people with disabilities also go out. We have things that we do, so we also need spaces on this bus. If they cannot make spaces, then there should be specific buses made for people with disabilities. And I really commend this present government. They're doing a great job, so I know they can do it.
Yeah. Hmm. How about buildings? What do you think about public buildings? You know, you spoke about churches. What specifics, you know, do you want to see change? And I'm talking about government right now. Government, yesterday, you know, Gilbert, I wish that the GM of GMDBC would have asked him about designs, you know, to make it more inclusive. Well, what do you think the government should do in making public buildings and even spaces more inclusive?
The disability rights bill has been passed. Every building in Nigeria is supposed to have access for people with disabilities. But for some reason, you know how Nigeria works. The system is not just like the way it's supposed to be. There's supposed to be a fine, actually, for every building which has not made it's building accessible. Yes, that would help. I think it will help. If there's a fine, a very big fine, it will help. But I just hope it's going to be done, because we also love to party. We love to go to church. We love to go out. So that makes people very disappointed. Imagine the last 2 weeks I was in FCMB. I had to go and renew my ATM. And then they said I have to come in for a snapshot, a passport or something. I don't know. So I went in, but it was not accessible. They had to lift me. That day I cried, because it has been a long time I had such a problem. Like, lifting me up. Like, and then they were all pressing me one way, and it's hot.
Yeah.
So it's very, very...
So difficult. FCMB, do a good job. You can tell your building engineers to have a wheeler or something. Thank you for that.
It's not just FCMB, though.
Yeah. Most but, you know, thank you for calling them out. At least they are going to do the right thing, you know. Thank you for calling them out.
Yeah. Basically, you said most of it, but wheelchair users in this part of the world, we often don't see, you know, older people use wheelchair, because of course it gets to a point when as an old person you need to use wheelchair and all of that. Have you encountered people who not necessarily have disabilities, but by virtue of the advancement in age and all that need wheelchairs? Mm-hmm. And what's your experience coming in contact with these people by virtue of interaction and all?
They find it very hard. I remember there's a program I'm going for tomorrow. She has worked with people with special needs, and she just had this disease, something syndrome, like her
Down syndrome. Syndrome.
No, not okay. Down
Cerebral
syndrome.
Cerebral palsy.
I was surprised. Her body just shakes.
Parkinson's?
Thank you. Parkinson's. Okay. Yeah, Parkinson's. So when I heard of the disease from her, I was surprised to find out there's such a thing that could happen to you.
Yeah.
And
it mostly affects boxers and people.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Has
so
to do with muscle.
She, you know, when she invited me, or us rather, she was like, she never imagined or saw herself living like this. And she now understands what people who use wheelchairs go through, and she just wanted us to be together and talk about how we could make the government improve access, because she loves to go out. She's a white woman. She told me she loves to go out, and she's finding it frustrating now because she cannot go to restaurants, her best restaurant. She can't go in there and all of that. And I'm like, this is something that our government and people that are supposed to make access free for people should see, because it happens. You don't know tomorrow, like me. It's spinal cord injury. We all enter cars, right? Mm. So if you are in the position to make places accessible for people and you do not, it might be you tomorrow is in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I perfectly. Just like the Hausa would say that. Bakamutu baba gama
ali. Yeah, sure.
Rough translation, if you've not,
you're not dead.
Yeah, dead.
Mm-hmm.
Your creation process is still, you know,
yeah,
ongoing. Well, talk to us about mental health, and especially for people who, young people, you know, like you, that you said, you know, this whole thing started, your life turned around when you were 16. How did it affect your mental health, and what did you do to come out of, you know, that and say, because I like, you know, the adjective that you'd be using, that, you know, you're a self-confident person, highly motivated, a self-motivated person. And those are good virtues and qualities, you know, to have.
Mental health. See, let me tell you something. That's one thing, again, I talk about. After spinal cord injury, there's the rehabilitation phase, right? Mm. I hope some doctors are listening to me, because that's something that should be part of the rehabilitation.
Okay.
Yes. We have these therapy sessions. You go for physiotherapy, but nobody cares about mental health. And you know what it is in this part of the world. We don't talk about mental health. We don't think about it. But mental health is supposed to be the number one sell, because trust me when I tell you, it's hard. For me, I have a very loving and great family. My family never treated me badly for one day. And with spinal cord injury, many people run away and leave them.
Mm.
Yes. Last year, we were able to work with two people. One was in Akurewo and one was in Ibadan. Their families left them. They deserted them after spinal cord injury. So we got one from an uncompleted building, but he was so worn out and very down, all infected, had a lot of complications, and passed away after some months. Yeah, we took him to the hospital. We took care of him, but he couldn't survive because the infections were, like, it was already in his blood and all of that. So he passed away.
Sorry.
So mental health is something that he was already, yes, and he saw a psychologist that said, the psychologist told us that he has left the world, so there's nothing they could do. So mental health should be part of spinal cord injury rehabilitation as well. And people need to talk. People need to, you know, because with spinal cord injury, it also gives you this loneliness. Like, people don't want to go out again.
Yeah, let's talk about community. What would you say, and, you know, Africans were very communal people.
Yeah.
What would you say to, I don't want to say government, but to churches right now and to religious institutions in providing support for people like you? Because they are the ones who give human beings hope to say, well, no matter your situation, God still, you know, has a purpose and, you know, destiny for you.
I would want them to talk to people like me and give us hope, not just always telling you miracle. You know, one thing that I used to hate church is about, once you go to a church in Nigeria, people
feel
just
manipulated.
Yes, you need a miracle. I was almost crippled the second time again in a church. I don't want to call the name of the church, but when I went to the church, they said I must walk. Like, they picked me up. They were like, you must walk. And I almost, like, fell down. And that's what they do to you once you go to a church in a wheelchair in Nigeria. So it's not just, a miracle is not always the problem. As much as people with spinal cord injury want to walk, we also have dreams, we have hopes, we want to do things, we can also marry. I'm married, so I have a baby. People can still live lives even as disabled. So it's not just about miracle. You could tell us, like, you could give us hope by telling us other things, giving, motivating us, inspiring us, just, you know, but not just always telling us you need a miracle. No.
Just being that friend, you know, that
thank
buddy.
You.
And, you know.
Yeah. So,
well, in case you're just tuning in, we've been having a chat with Yvonne Jack Pam. She's the executive director, right? Yeah. Spinal Cord Injury Association Africa Network, and very inspiring conversation we've been having with her. I'm such a huge advocate of making society inclusive. Mm-hmm. Because in that way, we can tap from each other's ingenuity, creativity, greatness, and all that, you know, life has blessed us with. You can join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. 081-2187-7777 or you call 090-556-6699.
Or head over to Facebook and drop your comments on JFM Live on X at JFM Jaws.
Before you call, don't forget to turn down the volume of your radio or you turn it off completely and then you tell us your name and where you're calling from. Good evening. Thank you for calling. Okay, not working. Hello? Hello? All right. I hope all is well. Hello? Hello? Okay. 081-2187-7777. Maybe, Gilbert, you take some comment on Facebook. Let me see if I can refresh the
phone. All right. On Facebook, Don Z says, for those with mobility issues, wheelchairs are more than just a mode of mobility. They're a tool for inclusion, empowerment, and independence. Government and NGOs should come to their aid. Felkuka Gowon says, there's the need for governments to improve on their welfare. There's ability in disability. I love JFM. Julius Achigak says, there's the need for governments to improve on their welfare, and also individuals and organizations should all come to support them too. God bless JFM and Plateau people. Katala Ayuba says, Bart was right. Nigeria is a federation. He alone cannot take us out of our present predicament. The governors have a major role to play. And Seldam Gunshin says, there is the need for all of us to come together and help the disabled people in our society, showing them love. If you have the money, you can buy a wheelchair and give it out. God bless Plateau. Dabelep says, Moanagam Kingsley. Has this to say, the people living with disabilities should be given much attention by government and well-meaning individuals because it is not easy. Bold Dave Jonathan says, to bridge the gap, the government can provide accessible infrastructure and funding for wheelchair distribution. Well-meaning individuals can support organizations that provide wheelchairs and advocate for inclusivity. Society often fails to see the urgency because they may not fully understand the challenges faced by wheelchair users. It's important to raise awareness and educate people about the importance of accessibility and inclusivity. Absin Manasseh says, I think it will be of good interest for the federal government to create a commission for people living with disability. Of course there is, so that they can have budget allocation to cater for themselves. Anna Dagala Olasege says, the government should always consider the physically challenged persons. They really have skills in them that can go a long way in the development of the country. But most times, it is the other way around, whereby the society looks down on them because of their appearance. Long Ji Long says, I think not just the government should be responsible for providing help to those in need of these wheelchairs. Maybe in our various places of worship, we can identify those in need and we can contribute to help out. Good evening. Cyprian Mafia says, I have a severe pain and headache all the time since the day I carried a heavy load and it nearly broke my neck. I move around freely and normal but always in pain and headache since the day the incident happened. I need medical help.
I think they should get one. Go to the hospital, since you know exactly what you
what
need.
Is wrong and how
thank
started.
You for telling us, though.
Dauda Ajiji says, the government of Nigeria doesn't take care of the physically challenged people. They are left at the mercy of their relations. Many families can't afford wheelchairs for their disabled. The NGOs have come in to give a helping hand, but it's not sufficient. There are talented ones amongst them, and the government has not given them jobs nor wheelchairs. And David Mark Sambo says, I think the government needs to start giving proper attention to people living with disabilities. This will help take care of challenges associated with the scarcity of wheelchair for the disabled persons. Well, Plansak?
Yeah, I think there's this comment, Gilbert, okay. Maybe you missed out on it.
Okay.
Albert Albatos Albert, he said, I wish to have her number. I'm a victim of spinal cord injury.
So
maybe you give your contact info, the contact information of your
organization. We have a WhatsApp group for...
Okay, yeah, you're going to call the number before the end of the show.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
My name is Samuel. I'm calling you from Abattoir.
Samuel, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I commend your guest. Well, me, I'm living with disability, too. You have said it all. Sometimes you go to places and then you feel discriminated. People, like, they don't like you, you're this and that. So, like, you shouldn't be there. So, I would love to talk to your guest, like, I don't know. Because it happens to me, I think, 5 years ago. But I don't know what to do with my life. I'm always indoor. So I don't know whether I can get access to her like that.
Yeah, sure. Like she said, they have a community on WhatsApp, so we're going to give the number, the phone number, so that you can request to be added.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just hold on before the end of the show. Just keep listening. Keep following us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know we wish you well.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Thank you for calling.
I'm Mrs. Kingsley calling from Mayfield.
Okay, go ahead, madam. But please turn down the volume of your radio.
Okay, actually, I really want to comment on what you people talked about. It's heart-touching. Because as far as you're a human being, you never can tell how your end will be. Another thing is all these organizations that make it difficult for people with disabilities. I think government should put a law that at least it will curtail them from doing all those kind of things. Because it's bad. It's not so bad. I can't imagine myself being in that kind of situation and you're adding to my own pain. It's not good. Please. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that great comment. 081-2187-7777 or you call 090-556-6699. Got too late. Sorry about that. Call us back when you get a chance. Let's see if this works. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Pastor. Good evening.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, this is Wadley Emmanuel calling from Tibola.
We're listening. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Pastor, honestly, sometimes I wonder whether the number of these physically challenged people is nothing compared to what government can do for them all combined. Sometimes when you walk on the street, you see them, maybe you're not you don't have the capacity to help them to a particular extent. But you need to wonder, why can't government to come up with a law? So, for instance, for every state now, let's take the statistics of people who are living with challenges like that and see how they can make a budgetary allocation where these people can fall on. Anytime this thing happens, you can fall on and receive some percentage of money to take care of them. Get good hospitals where these people can be catered for. Because they are not many. They are not many. As far as I'm concerned, yes, they are remaining in the way we are looking at it, but it's nothing compared to what the resources we have in this country to care for them. So I think government can do better than what we are seeing today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Thank you. 081-2187-7777 or call 090-556-6699. Turn down the volume of your radio before calling. Hello, good evening.
Yes, good evening. I'm Gilbert Joseph.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Yes, this morning I'm calling for Bike Ladi.
Thank you. We're listening. Please go ahead, sir.
Wow. You see, like what the gays just say, I listen to all she has said. And if she said the truth, once. You see, I happen to be a victim. You understand? I travel in different states when I'm okay with my eye. I travel in different states in this country. And one day I come, it happens that something happened. My eye now has problem. I come back home for job here, for platinum here. I stay at home. My brother, I narrowly escape suicide. This thing, I will tell you, it's real. What she said is real. You know, sometimes you find it quite difficult. Nobody will come to you to kind of make a simple, you know, create a simple time for you and him to share idea, you know.
Conversation, normal conversation.
Exactly. I'm telling you, it's quite sad, my brother. So the only thing that helped me out is radio. I just get a radio and it talks to me. Sometimes I need a friend to talk with. I can't get. Everyone will just come back, go back to hospital, the next day come back. You only eat. Only food cannot give you that joy. My brother, yeah. It's quite a pathetic story. You understand? It's real. It's happening. Honestly, I feel for anybody. I thank God that I've overcome that kind of feelings now. I'm okay now. I get married. I'm okay. I thank God for that. But it's my brother. So people with disability, they are finding it quite difficult. It's not easy for them. That's all I can contribute. I pray that the government will listen to their cry so that they can able to like give the kind of free education, employ them in work, you understand, give them some packaging that can able to keep them. There are not many now, they are just few now. You understand? Me, I believe, I always have dreamed that my eye recover and it will recover in Jesus. I believe one day I will see. I pray that God will help us all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that really touching story. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Yeah, my name is Gabriel from Badinkwa.
Thank you for calling, sir.
First of all, I don't have any disability of any kind, but I'm very passionate about what you guys are doing there. So I'm trying to say that all these people that are saying government don't really have to do anything. It's the people around them, because the most weapon that you can use against the disability guys is that you'll be having sympathy or feeling, making them feel weak. So if you keep doing that to them, then they will just feel like they have nothing else to do. So I'm just trying to say that anyone that has a family or a friend that has all these kind of issues, you should just get time to play with them more. Like, I don't know if you understand.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Go ahead, we can hear you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yvonne, so you've heard this a really passionate, I would say, comment and really touching stories. For me, I always tell myself and, you know, friends that, look, your story is the only thing that is original to you, and nobody can challenge, you know, your story, because you are the only person, you know, in it, and you are the only person experiencing it. So first, give us your contact information for Spinal Cord Injury Association African Network, and then the WhatsApp number, and then any other comments you like to make in closing.
Okay, the WhatsApp number,
you have to call it very slowly.
Okay.
Yeah,
the WhatsApp number is 0916.
No. Call it in 22. Okay. 09.
Okay.
16. Aha.
0916. 3786602.
Okay, call it again.
0916 3786602.
Okay, and Facebook, do you have Facebook account?
Yeah, we have Facebook. It's CN Network. On Facebook.
Spell that. How do you spell CN?
SCIANNETWORT.
Okay. CN Network.
On Facebook.
Okay.
TikTok and Instagram.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So any other comments you'd like to, maybe a family is listening and they have a kid who is in this situation, what will you, you know, tell them from your experience and how will you want them to, I don't know.
So if you have anybody that just had a spinal cord injury or a disability, basically, please, I want you to just be there for them, encourage them, and just love them. Because I am a person that has seen love, had love. My family never deserted me, never, like, saw me like a person that had any spinal cord injury. I have always had support. So basically, please support any of your family member that just has a disability or just had any form of problems. Love is everything. Support is everything. And trust me, if you are there for them, support them, they would come out of it. They would live a better lifestyle because, trust me, spinal cord, any disability makes you to find yourself, you find purpose, and just become a better person.
Yeah. And then call your call to government.
Please, government, include us in everything. We can walk. We go to school. We have brains. Trust me when I tell you, we even do better. I am even better than when I was on my feet. Like, I can do a lot. And many people with disabilities, they can do a lot. Just don't judge us by our wheelchairs. We can do anything. Maybe differently, but everything we can do.
Just like my friend. I don't want to mention her name because my friends have warned me that I embarrass them. Thank you so much, Yvonne Jack-Pam, the Executive Director of Spinal Cord Injury Association Africa Network. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very inspired story. And thank you for all the great work that you're doing, putting it on the community so that people can have, you know, support and what have you. Gilbert, your final word.
Today is Friday. Happy weekend.
Yeah, well, do enjoy your weekend, and the news will come your way top of the hour, 6 o'clock by now.